Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Sorry, folks, we're having problems. We have everybody on the line, but it just took forever to get it to dial out, and I do apologize. A little hectic tonight. Oh, and welcome, everybody. This is Will Bluewater. This is Prosecutor's Radio, and as you can notice, I don't know my own name tonight. Anyway, our guest tonight is Apache medicine man Abadi Ernesto Tano Quinquil.
Queen.
What do I know? And by the way, I
you don't know your name.
I do know Tomas real well. Yeah,
oh,
I've been.
Oh my gosh!
I lived in. Walsenburg for 3 months, and you know Jimmy pretty well,
James is a good guy.
Want to welcome you to the program. Our friend Mac Boogaloo lined you up for the show, anyway, we can take a breath now, normally the dialing out thing, you know, it's just instant, and it took forever, and I didn't even hear it ring but two or three times. But anyway,
was it circulating through Brooklyn? Because ID thing kept saying Brooklyn, and I don't answer, but I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
I thought you were in Chicago, so I didn't pick it up.
It's Skype. I think it's a Skype thing. Maybe they've changed it around, but
all right.
But anyway. What we usually do is a Mayan birth reading, and we normally get your birthday. Do you mind telling the public your full birthday?
No, I can even give you my Mayan reading.
Oh, okay.
I'm Meek, the hummingbird. I'm in charge of the stones. I'm the moon and the wind, and my name happens to be the silent wind that the Apaches gave me, so it kind of fit.
Okay, well, Mark's got a little bit different. Joel, could go ahead and tell him your birth date
he's working. It's December 30th, 1946.
December 30th,
1946.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm Eek too. Nine Eek.
Yeah, the coyote's my guide.
Yeah,
That was 1946, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, spread it all over the world. Come on.
Well, actually, yours is very close to Otter's because your number is 8. You're an 8 Eek.
Correct. Yes.
And his
correct.
Is 9. So you guys are kind of, okay. And yours is sitting in the Eagle cycle.
Correct.
So you got some Eagle energy there too as a guiding to your Eek energy.
Well, also a little bit of Jaguar.
And the number 8 typically kind of, in traditional thing, kind of relates to kind of the completion of energies in the regular material realm of things.
Yeah.
And also, it'll also connect you a little bit kind of the energy of a male type of authority energy in the top of a pyramid structure.
Yes.
Do a little bit of that. And then you already know the Eek is kind of the wind, breath, prayer, and...
Yes.
And all that stuff, so you already know that. What you
yes, I
don't
yes, yes,
know.
I know how to read the chol. I know how to read the chol tune. Yes.
What you no, but we're going to do things a little bit. Another one.
All right. Okay.
This is going to be
also the symbol is a letter T, and I carry
right.
this letter T on a necklace.
Now we're going to do one that's. From the coming world cycle, so it's a reading done with the six sun Vulcan, and it's gonna actually have three components to it: a forward flow of time, the way we normally look at time, a backward flow, which we don't normally see, and then where the two time flows come together, and they create a balancing or a zero point. So on the forward flow, yours is about, this is kind of from your birth going forward.
Correct.
It's a lot about beauty, beautifying things, art, creating things, especially things with a strong element of using the proper intention in the creation of the art or beauty or aspects of that, and it. It's connected into both the power and energy of the sun and also the planet Venus. It's coming up, both of those. So, and it has some, this is actually the beginning day of the cycle, so that energy is carrying through this entire cycle for that particular Zulcan cycle, and it also has an element here of how to use intent and inner desire to kind of connect and unite with Creator to get things accomplished. So I would suspect, since this is coming up in your reading, you've probably maybe been kind of good at that since birth even, you know,
yes,
of tapping in and probably just natural ability, and so...
I work with the stones and the petroglyphs and the moon,
mm-hmm.
the unknown.
So now on the other flow, and this part is on the backward flow, so this element is probably, maybe have been shown up as a little bit more things coming up more recently in your life. Usually we say, you know, somewhere around 1997, 1998, maybe a little bit before, a little bit after, but around that point in time moving forward to now as maybe showing up more in your life, and it's more about bringing things, birthing things, the natural way of things, especially in creating a unity or a oneness has probably been showing as it was becoming very important maybe to you, and combining with both life force energy, instincts of things, and sacred power. And this one is bringing in, it's sitting in as the 10th day of a Jaguar cycle. So there's your
yeah.
Jaguar showing up here.
Yes.
So your Jaguar energy appears like it's coming a little, maybe a little bit stronger from what we perceive as the future flowing backwards in time towards us. So it's kind of a an anchoring point, and it would probably also connect you into how the sun moves through the underworld, both on regular days, but also as a, we change from one world cycle to the next, or one world sun to the next world sun. So, and that's, we're in process of that, so it looks to me like some of that Jaguar energy for you is really bringing in aspects of doing things to help essentially complete the burst we're in process of for our coming world cycle. And
yeah.
And it has your especially now aspect of creating a nurturing of belonging and natural ways and bringing in that unity or oneness is a key aspect of our focus of what, you know, maybe you're trying to accomplish or in what you're doing. And it has an aspect here of kind of on a couple cycles up above the one next cycle up above the Jaguar is an aspect of challenge of kind of the polarity or negative and positive and duality of things, how to work with that and then the balancing of things to create that kind of that harmony or oneness. So where these two come together, the backward and forward time flows, this is kind of your balancing or kind of a gateway between worlds or a bridge or a zero point or different ways of describing it. And for you, this is how you kind of move through it, but it's also how your life and activities that you do also help others as well. And yours is working a lot on kind of the soul level, bringing in a combination of joy through forgiveness, and that creates kind of a liberation when that occurs. And this is very connected to Hunebku, our creator. And it's actually sitting in a cycle, which is the Hunebku cycle. And it's sitting in another click-up cycle. That particular cycle, in a one-word thing, is unity or oneness. So there, that's coming up again. So this one's really showing, as you move through things, it's going to be your a connection with Creator and an aspect of helping others, especially in the area or realm of forgiveness, and that bringing liberation and joy and releasing actually aspects of soul, both, you know, just normal people, but on even higher levels of what we would consider more kind of almost a unified soul. So that is what I see as far as kind of where you're moving and what you're doing as we move and change things. That seems to be maybe a big part of what you're doing.
Want some comment?
Huh?
Are you ready for some comment? Or?
Yeah.
You want me to comment?
If you want.
Sure. It's actually not forgiveness I'm working on. It's transformation, helping people with the transformation that's coming.
That'll work.
And if that's forgiveness as well, that's perhaps part of it, but it's more to receive the messages left by the ancestors and the petroglyphs universally. And that's what I was called to work with, and that's why they gave me the T, because the T is very significant in the petroglyphs.
Yeah, the T is also coming up on that last part of the saw, because it also has a T symbol associated with it as well.
Oh, yeah, it's opening doorways. T's are actually our doorways.
Yeah.
And it's doorways to the next level and of the next dimension. We're in the fourth. There's nine dimensions.
You'll never guess where I lived when I started this program back in 2004.
lived in Colorado Springs.
I lived in Kabul, Missouri.
Okay. That's the other side. If you go right through the earth, you'll be in Kabul.
Yeah. Kabul, Missouri.
Kaboom, Missouri. Ah, the edge of the Meshika Empire.
Yeah, another name for the tea, the hand Kabul.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, it's no problem. Yeah, people aren't aware that the Meshika Empire stretched up to Missouri, and you know, the conquer, European conquer, tried to say was just central Mexico, but
Wisconsin?
That's much garbage.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Well, there's remnants of the Wisconsin, Atlan, you know, park in Wisconsin, you know, but, you know, they suggest an Atlantean connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to that state park up there in Wisconsin.
I mentioned the Wisconsin people, and they're not aware of it, and I said, it's strange. Someone would just tell me that they thought there was a ley line from there down to Muskies on the Pacific.
Yeah.
But I haven't followed up. I just heard that a couple months ago.
Yeah, we just we like to do the reading for guests, and encourage people to look into for themselves, just tell us about your journey, how you got started, and you know, the time periods we're trying to interrupt,
how's the reception? You're breaking up a little tiny bit. Is it good on your
might
end?
Be. Yeah, does that sound a little bit better? Might have been too close to the mic. Okay.
Well, I don't know if Geronimo or mentioned to you, but he and I and Tomas are waiting for a publisher to get back to us in England on a book called The Patch Away to Healing. And in it, I describe how I'm a Gavilan Apache from Mexico. I'm the first Gavilan Apache healer in 300 years. And through a series of visions and following the visions to ceremonies and training from various medicine people, I was called back because I was very much into American society. You know, I had no problems with it, and it was good to me. But yet when the ancestral spiritual connections come, then I answered the call. I'm not sure everybody does. But I did, and it put me on the path, and it led me to a native nation, where I was received, and I've pretty much been around the world doing Native American ceremony and then speaking about the petroglyphs from a book that I was put in called Shamanic Wisdom Keepers by Timothy Freaky. And in there I gave my connection information, and, you know, I don't hide from my obligation to help people in need of healing or seeking, perhaps, inner peace. So, 25, 30 years ago. Yeah, probably 38. You hate to count back.
Yeah.
Well, there's many moons that you've seen, and you go, yeah, I was sometime back there, you know. But I remain on the path, and I continue. I just got back. I'm on my back right now from a different group of condor eagles that met in Topotzlan, Mexico. There was 80 Native medicine people there, and a lot of wonderful young people seeking some kind of direction. Yep.
Well, just tell us about, you know, we've got as much time as you'd like, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Just let the spirit lead whatever you want to talk about, or we can.
Yeah, well, I'm working towards. I strongly believe that the majority of the petroglyphs, a lot of them have to do with tribal moving and game and stuff like that. Even the noted Meshika scrolls that were left, the majority had to do with tribal movement and whatnot and daily tribal life. Although those were actually manufactured by the Spaniards. But the stones, I would say, worldwide, and I've visited petroglyph sites pretty much, or I've gotten gifted photographs of different places, and they pretty much tell a tale of transformation and moving to another dimension. And this is, like, I would say, easily 75% of the glyphs once you learn how to read them. And I believe that perhaps there will be a need in the near future to know how to transform and move through another dimension. So that's been my major work. I did ceremony and
cleansings for years, and then the spirit world, my spirit guides came and said, you need to follow this path. And I was amazed because I carried the Kali symbol of the Mashika. I was given that years ago, and I didn't know why. And, of course, on Kali, if you're familiar with the glyph, the doorway is accentuated, and it forms a very, very large T. And when I first was amazed with the connections, I was up at Tiwanaku in well, near Tiwanaku, just south of it on the Peruvian side. And there's a doorway left by Araramamuro, and we were told 50,000 years ago he came to show us how to live in a civilized way, and he left through that doorway to the stars. Well, when we come over this hill, and he walked to get there, it's in the form of a T, a huge T. And so I said, oh my gosh, that there's a reason I carry this. I never ask what the spirits ask of me. And then when I did my own first reading of the Maya, well, there was Ik, and there was the T representing Ik, you know. And then I went down to Copan, just to the side of Guatemala, on the what is the Nicaraguan or the Honduran border. And there's the wind with a big letter T around his neck. And I said, oh my gosh, this isn't madness. There is some spiritual leadership here, and I just follow where they choose to take me and where they choose to train me, and they hope for me to enlighten people, and that's what I was doing all last week. I just got in late yesterday from Mexico, and I spoke with several people that it was news to them, but they don't challenge it, because when you present the petroglyphs, they're pretty self-explaining. I mean, it's not jargon that I'm giving, you know. Anybody can spot anything, and, you know, there's no proof, you know. But the petroglyphs, once you look at them and then put them together, you go, oh, my gosh. Thousands and thousands and thousands around the world. And they're pretty much identical. And so people knew that we were coming today that we would need this information. And that's what I think I've been called to do. And so that's what I try to do the best of my ability.
Outstanding. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. A friend of mine by the name of Robert Three Eagles ran into Mayan elder, and he was run out of Mexico, from what I understand, and lives in Cedar City, Utah. And this man wrote a Spanish language book concerning Mayan astrology, and Robert introduced the idea of he introduced me to my glyph and introduced me to the idea of doing a vision quest, going out of the hill, whatever you want, on the Mayan birthday.
Right.
And that's, we talk about that quite a bit and encourage people to do that. And but it was really interesting for the first experience that I had. But the thing that was most interesting was back in 98, on spring solstice, I was told something in detail about the weather that was going to happen in 2005. And I started this program in 2004. And at the end of 2005,
spring equinox. You said solstice. You said spring solstice. I'm sure you said spring equinox.
I overslept, and I'm just kind of rummy. But anyway, I didn't know. What I was told was a voice. It just says, in the future, the year 2005 will be known as the year of the great havoc, because the weather will become so bad, it may even shut down computers all over the planet. And wake up and write that down. Well, I did. I found out, you know, years later, that day that I heard that was on the beginning of the week of 9-Eek. And, of course, I didn't know about my glyph, and I didn't know about this whole thing till later. And, it was really interesting. And, of course, what I was told was referring to Katrina, 2005, the hottest year on record. and UN climatologists got together in November, and this rabbi from 30 miles west of Jerusalem sent me a link to it, and they mentioned the word havoc, and he said, "Well, I hadn't heard of a fulfillment of prophecy like that about 2,600 years." And I said, "Oh well, you know, whatever. It made an impression on me, and we talk about it quite a bit. And
the spirit worlds are aware of the future and try to guide us in a good way. And the last two or three years have been severe weather years in parts, and from what I sense and been told, it's going to continue to get in a bad way.
Yeah, it seems that way.
They're probably going to get places that they got hit last year are going to get hit again, but worse.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to get pounded this year, probably.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue. Even if you look at some of the information, it's probably some of the Russians are coming out with a lot more information and being more open than a lot of other people are about what they're... You know, their scientists and stuff are reporting coming, and they seem to be a little bit more, you know, telling everybody rather than keeping it under the hidden a little.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason why Steven Seagal's thinking of moving over there. And other people.
I'm trying to think of a term. I caught... scientific deal on the pollution deal where they did some studies in Israel when they first established the nation to measure the amount of solar energy because they wanted to know how much water they would need in the desert for their crops. And then they re-looked at it, I would guess now, maybe 10, 15 years ago, and they felt that the pollution was protecting us because otherwise the earth would have got much hotter. And what the pollution is doing is reflecting the heat. So as we clean up the pollution, we're increasing the heat on earth, and it increased in Israel. And that was replicated in, I believe, Germany and Russia, the same study, and they said, yep, you know, we're in trouble either way. You know, I think that's basically what they're saying. The world's heating up, and we tended to do that. But again, you talk about the Mayan cycles, you talk about the Mexica cycles. Basically, they're saying that, you know, Earth goes through its cleansings. And I did catch a science program, and they said, Earth has wiped out at least 5 times. Going by the evidence that dinosaurs and other animals that lived in certain epochs were wiped out. And so the tonal, the echo calendar, basically agrees with science that things repeat themselves.
Yeah, and students of Torah, you know, that's what they're taught. Theirs have been turned over many times.
Yeah, so when's the next cycle? People keep guessing. But, in my training, I was taken back to a physical cave mentally. A couple of times they asked me to look at, and in my brain was seated society's notion of people coming out of caves like apes and then progressing. And finally, my guides got a little pissed off. And said, shit, look at the other side. Look beyond the cave. And then I saw several civilizations that advanced and then expired, including Atlantis and Moravia. And then I began to understand what they're trying to tell me, that there's cycles in this cycle. The advancement, the brain's advancement in the last 50 years is phenomenal. And yet there's a signal that we're running towards something. You begin to feel there's you know, yesterday there's no proof. People say now, today, hey, it doesn't exist. You keep moving forward. You can't stop that. The progress has its own energy. We have its own energy. What we were discussing 20 minutes ago, it's gone. We're into a new time and space. and we're being moved forward whether we want to or not. And so will there be that other conclusion the sixth time, and will Earth regenerate itself? That was the teachings of some of our ancestors, that in fact there was 9 dimensions and we're in the 4th. And the Hopi, the Navajo, the Ute, and several tribes will tell you they came from the 3rd level through the Kiva, through the navel. Mm-hmm. That's in the Kiva. And that the ancestors left to the 5th level. See? And that's what's in the stones that I'm trying to decipher with the right people and the right energy to say, okay, how did the Anasazi move to the 5th level? And are we going to need that information? Is that why they left it? Because there's sites all over with 50,000 glyphs, and you say, hey, these medicine men and women didn't sit in the sun for years doing this if they did not know we would need the information. I mean, come on, maybe 10, 20, and say, okay, they're pretty. Let's gather, folks. But no, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of miles, just literally all over. You Google any state you want, you know, and you put petroglyphs, and you're going to find them.
Yep. Yep. Oh, by the way, if you want, I'm not sure how many people listen live. A lot of people listen to it after it's recorded. But if there's anybody out there listening, would you welcome people to call in and ask you questions? Not sure if anybody will,
sure.
But okay.
Yeah,
well, folks,
sure.
The number to call is 347-996-3318. It's right there on the page that you're using to listen to this program. Or you can use the Skype symbols right next to it. But
let me follow up on because we met at the Eagle Condor, and there's at least three groups that I'm invited to. The one you went to was Eagle Condor Quetzal, but I just came from an Eagle Condor gathering. There's another one in December in Peru, an Eagle gathering of different group, and they stem from the prophecy, of course, in Chile, Peru. That when the eagle and condor medicine people would get together, that there would be change. And a lot of the medicine people interpreted that as, wow, a positive time is coming. I just made a comment at Tepoztlan at the gathering. There was over 80 medicine people from around the world. I said, nobody said that. They said that there'd be change. And maybe the change is for the worst. And you need to be aware of that. And I had a lot of people in agreement and said, yep, that's right. They said there'd be change when we got together, but they didn't indicate what. See? So change may be coming, you know?
Well, it could be also kind of a combination of both. It could be we're going to change, but
something
in order
died,
to get to the
born.
Light at the end of the tunnel, we have to go through the purification.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and see, and basically the way that it's been explained to me is it's much like the India philosophy of reaching nirvana, and that some people get recycled here, some people go down on the 3rd level, and some advance. To ultimately you get to a 9th level, a 9th dimension, where there's some level of perfection. So, you know, this has been brought to me. And I look at it with interest and try to understand it because, of course, we have the Judeo-Christian thought, you know, and Muslim thought put in there. And then, of course, you have the Confucius thought and stuff. But there's different thoughts of our existence and our purpose for existence and afterlife. That's the big question, you know. And I found it interesting because historically it's among the glyphs, the Mexica calendar. There's two serpents facing each other right at the bottom, and they're known as the divine couple who live in the 9th level. But, of course, anything that was not Christian and did not support Christianity was wiped out, or it was, infused with with misconception. A good example is the Virgin Guadalupe. okay, in Mexico. That was Tonantzin. It's in the Spanish stuff when they got to the Mount of Tonantzin, and they knew that she was an Earth Mother that had taught the people. And, you know, when one of them went up there and witnessed the people honoring and giving offerings, they said, we have a major competition. So what do we do? You know, so they got together and contrived the idea that that was the reapparition of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
So the people from then on were not allowed to worship her the same. What was interesting in my glyphs that I've seen and I've found, there's always these women, and then you find the skeletons in Egypt and Bolivia and all over Mexico, these elongated skulls. And you look at them and you say, my God, what abilities did these ladies have? And then you study culture. And it seems like there's always a woman that taught society. And so you guys have done a lot with Lakota. White buffalo calf woman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and here's another woman that came down and taught you how to pray and how to exist. And it seems like there were several, and I say to myself, perhaps these were the seven sisters that everybody talks about. And they weren't talking about the stars, they were talking about seven beings that came and taught us and then left. And I find that there's a connection there, and I find it very interesting. I talk about the seven sisters when I give a lecture, because we all have that, and for some reason we've left them out of our ceremonies. The Lakotas, when they do a ceremony, they don't go around, you know, praising white buffalo calf women. They mention it if you want to talk about their religion. See? And the same with natives in Mexico, Tonantzin, you know. Now, you know, there's been enough talk now that's beginning to be brought back in and say, oh, look at this. And the glyphs that I have found of them are marvelous. They're absolutely marvelous. And I say, oh, my gosh, what do we really know? But it seems like there's been a major influence by star beings that were of like women. You know, what do we know? Man, woman, I don't know. You know, but they had an energy that was perceived as female.
Well, it's like,
nobody's calling in. So have a good evening.
My people, you know, we had Mother Salu, and yeah, you're right. It's all over the place.
Oh, yeah, it's a kind of amazing. You said, well, Orion was the Orion Queens. See? And supposedly some of them left to Scotland to teach the people up there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Look at this link. And then you look a lot of the artifacts left by civilization, and they're so similar. And they ask why. Well, because they had the same teachers, the seven sisters. Yep.
Oh, yeah. The
yes.
Well, we have our seven clans. We had 80 plus clans, but basically they boiled down to seven clans. And ceremonially, you know, we have pipes that have seven stems, and it's all over the place. And well, I have a connection with Mexico. Back in August 2001, Nación Cherokee de México became the first nation recognized under the San Andres Accords, and I worked pretty closely with Charles Yutlohi Rogers, who's been an oncologist in Mexico for nearly 40 years, and he was, well, you might remember the Sean Connery movie back in 92, Medicine Man.
He goes into the Amazon and
that was
that
was actually a true story.
Yeah.
Wilburn Ferguson was from San Antonio, and back he actually got in front of Jimmy Carter at some point, and Jimmy Carter says, "Oh, we need your medicine here in America." And then they said, he made an appointment with his chief of staff, went and saw the chief of staff. After that, he was hounded, followed, and he left and went back to Peru. Dr. Rogers ended up with his field notes, and Of course, he's done a lot more research to the point where he routinely saves stage 3 and 4 cancer patients. And
I've worked with the plants and the cancer patients and been very successful. If we live in harmony, and we know in the book, I hope it gets published, I explain a process that we follow of whether you're going to take a deer or a bear or whether you're going to use a plant. Well, there's always permission, an offering, and then a thanking, and then that's the tradition. Permission. You ask the plant. You give them a good reason why. Because you're going to take a life. And I mentioned where I speak, because you get a lot of people that get a little freaky on what's sacred, you know. And I told you to be clear. There's only one sacred thing, and that's life. Of an animal, of a plant, of a human, and the life givers. Earth, wind, fire, and water are sacred. The rest is by tradition. If you want to call that ring sacred, but far out. But that's by tradition in your particular people, you see. But that's what's sacred, and that's what we should be concerned in protecting, life. So when we work with a plant, you're taking away the life cycle of that plant. So if you ask the plant, the reason that you're taking life, and ask the plant for healing, healing happens. When people go out there and grow millions of plants and just cut them down and throw them in a bottle, it just doesn't work the same. Yeah. I also wanted to mention about the Seven Sisters because you likely have some women listeners out there. On that tee, that huge tee, you kneel down, you put your head on the wall of Aramamuru. I asked, is this truly a doorway? And the response was, yes, it is, but it's for the people of Peru. All nations have a doorway, but they have forgotten their traditions and their languages of the ancestors. And only a woman can open the door. You see. We're talking about transformation. We're here because we transform through a woman. But the woman, they just told me this last year, because they give me a little bit of information every year. They just kind of string me along and see if I leave the path. And when I follow the path and stay true, and I've never, I don't charge for what I do. I've been to several parts in the world, and I'll accept maybe a plane fare. Well, then they'll put me up and they'll feed me, but I will lose my perception abilities, and I will lose my healing abilities. That's my belief. I have an obligation. It is not a profession. I had a profession to make money, and fine, the spirits took care of me, but what I do is an obligation. But either way, what they told me, as I was sharing with you gentlemen, I use that term lightly because I don't know you. They made clear, no, the women that will show you are the Seven Sisters. So people that are called and feel that they're meant to open some doorways need to get their partner and go out to the petroglyphs where there are portals and ask in their areas the different Seven Sisters for guidance. And I believe it's going to happen. I truly believe it. And where I've been giving different talks, people say, yeah, you're going to do it at Ernesto. You're going to open that door. They sense and feel it. And, I'm finding the women that I need to guide and take to the portal so that they may open the doorway. And then I'll talk to everybody and say, hey, man, this isn't just fiction. It's the ancestors left it there for some reason. That was for us, you see. It's an amazing journey. It's been an amazing journey. I was a trained professional. I was outpatient director for Denver General Hospital, a very prestigious position. I was only 29 years of age. And then I was recruited because I had opened the first healing center. It was a mental health clinic that hired a medicine woman. And I directly supervised her, and I learned from her. But at that point, I was still into American professionalism. And then the spirit world called me, and I left. And before you knew it, I was on the Colville Reservation in Washington. And it changed me. I saw different things, different perceptions. And it's that universal philosophical thought of you have to lose yourself to find yourself. You have to lose your ways and learn other ways and then look back at yourself and reflect. And you know, by the people put it, what it's a thesis, antithesis, and the new synthesis. And that's, I'm at the new synthesis, but it keeps growing. It keeps growing. It's getting information on this without trying very hard. So I'm honored by our spirit energy world that they have part allowed me to partake and gifted with the information. And they want me to share it. At a point, they didn't want it shared. At a point, it was secret. Some of the petroglyphs were designed to hide the meaning. But after a point, I've met with several medicine men from North and South America, and they said, it's time. Because people that, let's say, are not of a good heart, you know, into their ego and into ruining the world, they can't use the information. So they, basically they're telling me that they can't pass to the fifth level in the fifth dimension. See? So they said, it's okay to share this now. Explain to the people that find the T's and the T down is where either you started with birth and chains, zero with a point. It's something's born there. It came down from another dimension. Or people went to ask. The ancestors went to ask for things. They went for rain. They asked for children. They asked for good crops. And it was the same process, okay, that we talked about a while ago. The asking, the offering, and the thanking. Okay, and then if there was a T, the letter T formed upwards, it's where things left here, and or where you thanked the spirit world for what they gave you. And they're all throughout the rocks and all the stones. And when they come together, they'll either form an H or the four direction symbol, which signifies that that was a major ceremonial area where they made. There may be a portal nearby. So that's what I'm sharing with the world where I go. I just shared this in Tepoztlan with a group of people. And, you know, some are meant and called to use that information, and others will ignore it and think, no, it can't be. But then they're going to have to find answers for the dinosaurs, won't they? Why were they wiped out? And will it happen again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
so that's basically my message. I thank you, fellas, for inviting me to give this message. But you know, I got to go watch the Denver Broncos here.
Ernesto, on the T, one of the things, yeah, I remember somewhere is they said one of the things that a T type symbol could be used to mean, the meaning is, the top of the T, the top bar, could be the ground,
mm-hmm,
and the T, the other part of it, would be moving and actually symbolize going underground. So in that sense, a T, mm-hmm, symbol can also mean a connection through, mm-hmm, the underworld.
Well, but the underworld was meant actually to be the Milky Way, if you read the Popol Vuh, right?
Yeah. Well,
when the Lord God left, it's symbolized by the letter H, which is where pelotas played.
Yep.
It's a form of letter H, and right in the middle between the both parts, there was a wooden T. And the new people interpreted that as the underworld, but the civilizations here knew that it was just a doorway to the other dimensions and to the Milky Way, to the galaxy. Okay? Again, it's the T, the form of the T, pointing down. And they were wooden T's.
What other, in your work with the petroglyphs,
mm-hmm,
because that seems to be a pretty big focus of yours in your work.
Oh yeah, that basically.
Are there any other
basically
things that you know you could share with people on what you've learned in terms of?
It's enormous. You know, I've deciphered maybe half. I was with a medicine man from Mexico at the third gathering of the Condors and the Eagles in around Española, Nambe, New Mexico, a young medicine man from Mexico says to me, you know, I've seen you before. And I go, well, possibly. And he says, did you ever lecture at University of Texas, El Paso. Yeah, I did, a few years ago. He says, I was in the audience. He says, can I follow you? I said, sure. Meeting a lot of new people. And then when I left, he wanted to go with me, and we visit a friend. And I was going to go visit a lady who I helped with the healing of her husband's heart. And then the friend I visited said, well, there's Petroglyphs on the way. I go, yeah, but I'm just got to go to Peggy's and I got to leave. He said, but they're right there on the way. So we stopped, and Acacia went into a trance and started explaining. The owner of the property started explaining before she knew it, he took off. And I was just in awe, but I kept challenging him and questioning him, you know, just to be sure. And I was left with this new information on what to do with it. Well, there's several glyphs and movement. Sometimes a snake points to water for an Apache, but other times two snakes represent that we're on the water planet. We're on the water dimension. And the snakes are transformation. They're change. They're used universally for change. But there are many, many glyphs. Again, there's the ones of the ladies coming down, zero with a point, something's born there, something starts there. You look in the glyphs around there, and it'll show you what actually began there. It might have been a plant, it might have been an animal. But the T's, again, are obvious, and the H's are obvious, and you'll see them. There's some in the ancient caves in southern France and then southern Spain. And the anthropologist looks as we're wondering about this symbol, and it's a T. Underneath, you can see where people have gone and pecked at it to leave offerings. But there are just so many, and it's a different story. When I present, I flash the first 50 glyphs, and I say, this is how you normally go through. You walk through a mountainside, and you say, oh, how pretty, and then you keep going. Now let's explain, and then walk through there again, and all of a sudden their eyes open and say, oh, my gosh, I'm beginning to see what you mean now. And that gift was from the medicine men and women, universally. There's a huge protected site in Sweden. I lecture at Vienna. A student approached me with this huge book. And he says, this has been in my family for generations. He says, here, it's yours. And I go, well, it's been your family. Whoa, it's yours. I didn't want to touch it. He said, no. Obviously, it belongs to you. And it was all the petroglyphs from that area. So, of course, I have to go there. And in amazement, again, the symbol, the circle, the four-direction circle, okay? Which is actually T's back to back. They've overlapped, and the information there clearly says these boats were not for merchandise. They were not for raiding. The sole purpose of these boats were to enter another dimension. And the darn Vikings, there's shiploads of them. You know, I'm going, oh my God, those guys were too much. Other parts, you find one or two people going through, you know, or a small group, but the whole boat full, and they show the transformation cycle from T's, et cetera, et cetera. And you go, wow. Well, I saw a similar glyph north of Toronto. And I go, whoa, those guys were here, you know. Same thing, the four-direction cross, and then there's a boat of Vikings going through. So it's not germane to Native Americans. It's worldwide information that's been ignored or suppressed because of religious beliefs. You know, a dominant belief system has taken over and left out the ancestral information, but I guess that's why Acacia went into his trance, and the spirits are saying, Ernesto, share with people and let them decide for themselves. You go to the glyphs and you look at them and say, okay, what's happening? And some are very obvious, people transforming as they come from another dimension. There's one in Utah that you look at that and you go, oh my God, there's no other explanation, and it's years old. And you go, they were trying to tell us that there's transformation, there's different dimensions that where we exist. Okay?
Well, we need to let you go, but before you do, do you have a blog or a website or anything yet?
You know, I'm just too busy. People ask me all the time.
Gotcha.
I'm on constantly. I was invited to two ceremonies this month, and I had to pass on the Paiute ceremony out in Bishop, California. And if you guys are listening, I apologize, but we'll see you next year.
But
I'm saying, you know what, I'm learning, and we're not, and people are meant to have this information. They invite me over, I come over, and we get together, and I pull out the petroglyphs, I have slides of all of them, and we share, and we go, okay, what do you think? You know, I'm here to present
it
to you.
Or maybe someday,
again,
video.
Yeah, you
appreciate
bet. If you guys, you know, if you want to invite me and give a lecture, hey, like I said, I all I ask is transportation costs. That's all. You know,
sounds
put me up
good.
Somewhere, give me a little bit of food, and we'll share and look at them and say, hey, look at these. You know, they're from our ancestors, and they're gifted to us. Not
well, when you get done with the game, the eclipse will be total at 8:11
right.
your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the
Dr.
moon. Again, the moon. Okay, let me talk to this about the glyphs, okay? There's one crude one that looks like a child drawing a circle with two eyes and a little mouth or a dot. That symbolizes transformation. And I brought it up because you said the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It represents the moon. The moon of the ancestors represented the other side, the unknown side, the
mm-hmm.
spiritual side. The sun represented what you knew, what you could see. And I decoded that with a glyph in Venezuela. They were both were attached. Because if you go to Three Rivers, New Mexico, the anthropologist left, oh, look at this childish thing. It must have been done by a child. But you find the very same figurine left by the Egyptians.
Uh-huh.
Where we'll have very, very intricate pieces of work. And then you have this little symbol. You go, why do they put this among these? Because they wanted you to know they're talking about transforming. Of course, they talk about Orion and going through Orion and moving back through the stars. But there's a lot. There's been a lot. I've been given a lot of information on Pleiades and the Seven Sisters. And part of the process was to stop and reflect. We're sitting together observing the stars, and six stars pull up. And one of us says, oh, there's the Seven Sisters. And we look at them kind of crazy and say, you can count them. There's only six. So there was some reason that someone knew that there were seven sisters, see?
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly they came through Orion and then down to Earth. That seems to be the portals that people talk about, the black holes, and there seems to be a huge energy source there, that from there then you come down to Earth, and then from here the seven sisters seem to have left 50,000 years ago or so and left us the information, and now we're back
mm-hmm.
to being pretty close to uncivilized. Our solution is war and killing, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, brothers. I hope.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
you so much. Thank you so much. We'll go ahead and just hang up when you need to. And I just want to share something with folks. Thanks so much, Doctor.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bless you all.
Hey, folks. If you'd like to call in, we've got some more time. The number to call is 347-996-3318. And Mark, you got any parting shots? I was going to play Bad Moon Rising before we
thing with the Pleiades came up, and if you look in some of the Lakota thing, they'll have a buffalo stars, and the head of that star constellation in Lakota would be the Pleiades, seven
mm-hmm.
stars of the Pleiades. So that would connect the Pleiades to the head of the buffalo, and buffalo being white buffalo calf woman.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a strong relationship there, or connection between the white buffalo calf woman and the buffalo and the Pleiades, I think. So, and I think that I've heard similar stories, connections in the Maya, and I think also the Cherokee having some very strong spiritual connection and roots in the Pleiadian star system. Seems like.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. Well, I want to encourage everybody to get out. If you're on the East Coast, it's total at 9:11 Central. It's 10:11 Central. It's 9:11. That kind of shook me up a little bit, because that's very significant to Muslims, because they were defeated at the gates of Vienna on 9/11. They attacked us on 9/11. And, of course, in your time zone, it's 8/11, and on the West Coast, it's 7/11. And those are winning numbers. So, anyway, we'll hope the Muslims didn't catch the time and aren't planning an attack on Chicago or something. Wouldn't put it past them. They don't seem to be missing much. Oh, did you hear that China's going to be sending troops? And, you know, we're also apparently talking with Russia about cooperating. Can you imagine us and Russia and China all getting together and kicking butt in Syria? That's weird, man. It's some really strange stuff going on. But anyway, what can you say? I know my pucker factor's going up this last couple of weeks. That with the stress that happened with my wife and all this going on. I'm going, oh my gosh, I've been talking about this for 20, 30 years now, and it's happening, and I'm as big a coward as anybody, you know. So whatever. Oh well, we appreciate you. We'll play Bad Moon Rising for everybody, and we'll let you go. Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate you.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right. Yeah, go watch the football game. Anyway, thanks a lot, folks. And here's Creedence Clearwater Revival's Bad Moon Rising.
Legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho.
As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
So that I may remember.